Welcome to Afterword, our first sermon recap in our 2 Peter series. This is Peter Hubbard, and our goal is to summarize, apply, and hopefully answer any controversial questions that come up on Sunday. So let's start there. It wasn't a question, it was a correction. In the first service, when I began with a long quotation from Michael Clary, I made the fatal mistake of pronouncing the mountainous region in West Virginia, Appalachian. I was appropriately corrected. It's Appalachian. Now, technically, both are correct. Culturally, one is correct. And for most people who are Appalachian born and bred, like Michael, the way you pronounce the word tells them much about you. Whether you can be trusted, whether you have a pompous view of yourself, except they won't use the word pompous, whether you should be fed or shot. Language and culture is so interesting. So our goal on Sunday was to introduce our 2 Peter series, 4 Ways. We talked about the title of the series, the approach to the series. We gave an overview, and then we listened to the entire letter of 2 Peter. Ben Drexler did an amazing job in the first 2 services, and Tim Cassie read so well in the 3rd service. So that was a huge blessing. So let's talk about those first 3 things. The title, please don't forget. The please is trying to communicate the humility and the love that Peter exhibited as he approached his readers. The don't forget is emphasizing the reminding, and the call to remember comes out so strong in this little letter. Now, the approach to the series, I talked about 10 or 12 different ways to help us remember because of the way we remember so differently as individuals. Our learning styles are different. We try to provide lots of different ways to help us remember, apply, live out what God is saying to us from His Word. And in the overview, the third part, we talked about the 3 big movements in 2 Peter, the shape that remembering takes. Growing. In chapter 1, we are called to add to and increase in the qualities God has already given to us. The end of chapter 1 and all of chapter 2, discerning. So growing, first movement, discerning between true words and false words. True words, Peter is very interested in calling his readers to a morally beautiful way to live. False words promise freedom, but ultimately lead to bondage and darkness. So part of remembering is discerning. And then the third movement is waiting. Growing, discerning, waiting. Waiting has a way of undermining memory. We begin to wonder, did I really hear properly? Like, did he really say he was going to return and there was going to be a judgment? So the way we wait is energized by or undermined by the way we remember or disremember. So this is where we're heading over the next couple months. Growing, discerning, waiting. We're going to learn a lot about memory, how God designed it, why we remember some things we don't want to remember, and why we can't remember things that we really want to remember, and how we can remember in a more healthy way. This past Sunday, in our memory moment, we will have one of these each week. Caleb challenged us to think about the connection between memory and awe. We generally don't forget quickly the things that have startled us or caused us to wonder. We actually use a different part of our brains when we stand in awe from when we try to memorize a list of facts. So this week, take a few minutes to think of a time when you were in awe. Caleb told us of a recent time when he was at the Grand Canyon. I was thinking of a sunrise on Saturday morning that was stunning, and I'm wondering, why are these memories so memorable, so vivid, unforgettable? When I can forget a name, a verse, a list so quickly, what is it about images that tend to stick? Why did Jesus teach with such vivid images? And what might happen to my prayer life if I slow down and ask the Lord for some visual, some images of what He's saying to me through His written word? One example I mentioned on Sunday, like when I was reading Psalm 29 Sunday morning, verse 3, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. Waters in the ancient world communicate chaos. The voice of the Lord is over these churning, chaotic waters. And I began to imagine all the chaos represented in our church family. Unanswered prayers, unresolved questions, uncertain futures, unhappy homes, unsatisfied hearts, all these churning waters, and visualizing our Father's voice speaking over and into each of these chaotic situations. And so I'm preaching, I'm seeing that image. His voice is powerful. His voice is full of majesty. Psalm 29 says, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. So this image leads me to stand in awe of God, and it sticks with me. It becomes memorable. I continue to wonder, to pray. Helps me remember. Hopefully this week, maybe something really simple or something really stunning, you can take a few minutes to stand in awe. And then think of the way it helps you to remember. Please, don't forget. Have a great week.